Welcome to Super Tathis for Parshas Tzav and Shabbos HaGodol. A few stories. First story is about Rav Yoshev when he was 95. He came back from davening Shacharis, and he came back to notice that it must have been one of his grandchildren had forgotten or missed the opportunity to clean up their home. So he did it himself. He cleaned up the bed. He organized things. He did whatever he needed to do, and then before he went back to learning after Shacharis. So what was the svara? He said that like orderliness is generally like it's a very important midah, and he said that like it's a kavodah Torah, like it's a house of malachim and a house where people learn Torah. That's a chash of a thing, and not only that, but sometimes disorganization sometimes is a sign of confusion, and he didn't want to show anything like that. So, you know, it reminds me a little bit about like how order Seder was so important in the Kelm Yeshiva. Like in Kelm, you know, everything was completely organized, and like people being able to participate in getting things ready in Mesudr was an honor. It was so much an honor that during Simchas Torah, that's what people would bid on. The not for rights, but for responsibilities. Let me be the guy who greets people when they come to the yeshiva. Let me be the one who's beside of the chairs. Let me organize this farm. Like, whatever it is, everybody wanted an achrayus. And as we're getting close to Pesach, I think, you know, it's different in every household. But I think that everybody has a little bit of a knee-jerk reaction saying, oh, man, I have to do this. I have to do that. Like, it's a real, it is certainly a giant investment in time. And it's sometimes, you know, as I get a little older, it's more and more exhausting. And it's difficult, and we need zeros, especially for something where, we feel like we're going to, you know, we're really paying for it. So it's just a chizik for all of us that if Rav Yoshev is willing to do something like this, and in Kelm it's such a midah, then we should really do our job to make our house feel like that Beis Malachim, and we can eat on the Shulchan Malachim, and Bezras Hashem, we can, feel like B'nai Malachim. Next story is a story about Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. And the story went as follows, is that he overheard or somebody mentioned to him that there was a way to really get very cheap dalad minim. And the method shouldn't be too novel, is that you wait till right the last few moments before Yontif. You know, after Yontif, a esrog and a lulav is going to be worth what it is in the middle of, you know, in the middle of July. So, it's about to be worthless, so people will be willing to sell them at a giant discount. And Rav Shlomo Zalman kind of corrected the person and said, look, you know, would you do this before a chasana? Would you wait to, like, hire the band right before chasana and, like, find the venue right before a chasana and everything else? You know, if you don't have that attitude, then presumably then you should not have that attitude here either. This is something where you should feel excited about and invested in it and want to, not that you want to shortchange it, but that you want to make sure that it happens in the most ideal way and be willing to expand. And this is where we Yosir Sarach Zirus, B'makam Sheish Bo Chisaron Kis. Next story is a story about Rav Steinman. So there was a very short kala. This young lady was very, very promising. You know, she had all the proper midos. She had the great recommendations. She went to excelling in seminary, all the things that, you know, one should have. But while those boxes were checked, she was a gedola in her spiritual stature, but she wasn't very tall. And the way the story goes is that she was proposed to a certain young man, and the mother of the young man, you know, spoke to the Rebbetzin, and the Rebbetzin said, listen, you know, you should just meet her in person to make sure you're happy with her appearance. And the mother didn't listen. So the mother, instead, they made the match. And right before the vort, the mother finally gazes eyes on this young lady, and she says, she's a dwarf. The thing's off. The whole wedding is off. And the Rebbetzin was aghast. You know, and it was just, you know, she said, you know, how could you do this? This young lady's crying, whatever. Eventually, they laid the pressure on, and the parents agreed that they would accept whatever Rav Steinman would say in terms of resolving this issue. So they arranged it. Now, Rav Steinman didn't meet with women really very much. So the father came, and the woman wrote a letter, and everything was done, and the letter got to Rav Steinman, and the husband was there. And Rav Steinman asked, well, you know, can we put it in a place where the woman can hear me? Fine. Can we put it in a place where the woman can see me? He wasn't going to look at her, but she could see him. And he stood up and went to the place where the woman could see him. And Steinman said, "Can you see me?" "Yes." "Well," he said, "look, look how tall I am. And my wife took me. Mazel tov, mazel tov. Don't break off the engagement." And sometimes people get very, very excited about these sorts of things, and they turn out to be nothing. So I will also mention that it tends to be that one's appearance becomes less and less important as time goes on in terms of a proper, healthy marriage. So, you know, it's just an important reminder for all of us. There's a lot of production in Pesach, and there's a lot of appearance, but it's also very important for us to invest in the substance of what's happening. The substance of what's happening in Pesach is so much more. It's geula, it's emuna, it's bitachon, it's chinuch, it's mesora, it's so many special things. Don't lose sight in the tzimis or whatever else it is. Like, don't lose sight in the charoses or, you know, who's sitting where or how long you get. Like, we can't afford it. Shabbos HaGadol, there's this crazy medrash that we see in the Mishnah Brura, brought down the Aruch HaShulchan, a handful of other places, talking about Shabbos HaGadol is because, that Shabbos, the Jews were already getting their Korban Pesach and tying it to the bed, and the Mitzrim asked them, "Well, what are you doing?" And they said, instead of doing anything else, they just looked at him and said, "Oh, we're taking your God, the Tle, and we're going to sacrifice, bring Korban to Kadosh Baruch Hu." And the Mitzrim couldn't, they were almost dumbfounded. They couldn't speak. And that was a giant nace, so we call it Shabbos HaGadol. Marashah quotes the Tur, says that there was even more than happened here, is that the Bechoros, and you can be Medayik and Halal HaGadol to see this, you see that the Bechoros were so flabbergasted, they were so aghast, or whatever else it was, so overtaken by what had happened, that they started a civil war with each other, which is really remarkable. The Sefer Te'uda asks the following question: why didn't they lie? He says, well, you know what? This is part of like Shabbos HaGadol, and why we call it Shabbos HaGadol is because, like, you can see, I believe, the halachos for Tamai is we believe people on Shabbos because there's Amos Shabbos, and on Shabbos we don't even expect the greatest ignoramus to lie. So if that's true, Shabbos HaGadol is like the gedula of Shabbos was shown in such a situation. Second, why would we call it Shabbos HaGadol if really this, this went on for more than a couple of days? The Aruch HaShulchan answers, he says, well, this is the Haskalah. We have great appreciation necessarily for the Haskalah. Tzav, it's Lashon Zeruz. The Chassam Sofer says that the Lashon Zeruz is daily, without inspiration, without any renewal or anything else. It is just the ability, the zrizus, the excitement to do Avodas Hashem over and over and over again. And last is the Chisaron Kis. Some of the Mefarshim explain you need Yoser Zrizus, B'makom Sheish B'Chisaron Kis. You know what? Chisaron Kis can mean monetary loss, but with respect, I mean, there's all the kashas that are asked, well, the Kohanim don't have complete monetary loss because there are things that they gain. And the answer, one of the answers that's given is that it's not always monetary loss, but you pay for it in time. It's, to deal with the burning of things on these bech throughout the night. That is an inconvenient timing, and Pesach is all showing Kadosh Baruch Hu how much we care about him by willing to undertake inconvenience, whether it's cleaning an oven or getting rid of all of your chametz or just being medaktik in all the halachos 30 days before, or getting into cleaning a home, or housing guests, which are not so easy necessarily, or staying up late for me, which is should be a kapara, like all these things. Like, it's because it's so important, we wouldn't miss it for the world. We need a little bit of rizuk, we need a little bit of chizuk, but it is all worth it, and we need to show it, and we have that chance. Have a wonderful Shabbos.